My friends, good afternoon. First of all, I pray to the Almighty that my words this afternoon should be true in their content and their conclusion. Whatever we say and do is dependent on the wishes of the Almighty. I would like to thank, first of all, the Islamic Human Rights Commission for making this very important event and for giving me the opportunity of speaking to you today. It's a great privilege. What I want to talk to you about today is giving you the viewpoint of authentic Orthodox Judaism. I was sent an email setting out the headings of the various themes you want to address yourselves at. And I want to speak about the Orthodox Jewish perspective regarding these themes. I must stress that we are not in the Turikata. Our group is known as the Turikata, which is the name of given historically to those Orthodox Jews who totally oppose Zionism and spread the message that Zionism and Judaism are totally incompatible concepts, much against the understanding of many people in the world, including sadly many Jews who conflate Zionism and Judaism, but in fact they are two totally incompatible concepts. And the work of Turikata is to spread the message that Judaism and Zionism are not one. But what I wanted to mention was that we are not politicians. The various themes that we've been asked to give an opinion on, I can give a personal opinion, but these are not necessarily, from a practical point of view, the task of Orthodox Judaism. The task of Orthodox Judaism is to show our perspective and to pray to the Almighty. That's our approach. Pray to the Almighty that the various areas of activity carried out by whoever does them should be successful. The first theme that on the list that was sent to me was the question of the identity of Al-Quds, of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a holy city. It's known around the world as a holy city. And from Jewish Orthodox point of view, it is, of course, a holy city. And we recognize that many other groups around the world treat it also as a holy city. Now, the question of whether it should belong to any particular group, what I have to say is this, that Orthodox Judaism makes no claim whatsoever to political ownership of any part of Palestine. And this is our teaching, this is our belief. Our belief is that Jewish people have to live in peace in the countries in which they find themselves, including Palestine, and use the importance of Palestine for their lives and for their religious purposes, but not to be political controllers. So, looking at Jerusalem, our approach is that we wish to be able to carry out our lives, those who live in Palestine, carry out our religious lives around the country and, of course, including in Jerusalem, but not as political masters. One of our great rabbis, many years ago, going back, there was back in 1929, when there was, as Reza mentioned, this is a festering sore that's been going on for many years, 100 years now. And at that time, there was the Zionists wanted to lay claim to the what is known as the Western Wall, very similar to now, how they want to lay claim to the Temple Mount. And the rabbi of Jerusalem at that time was a very great rabbi, Rabbi Zonnenfeld, and he said we should remember that Jerusalem, and he particularly mentioned the Temple Mount, is under the control of the Palestinian people, and that's how it has to be. We would like to have the privilege of access to it, but it is under the control of the Palestinian people. The question of Mr. Trump's move of wish to move the United States embassy to the so-called State of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Our approach is that it is, he may have a good intention, he may think he's helping Jews, but of course he's making the mistake. If he does think he's helping Jews, he's making the mistake which most people in the world make, and they were by conflating Zionism and Judaism, and he thinks that by helping Zionism he's helping the Jews, but he's obviously not doing so. And his wish to move the embassy to Jerusalem is, I would say, if I may say, is both stupid and, from our point of view, irrelevant. It's stupid because it obviously adds fuel to the fire of the confrontation that's taking place in the Palestinian conflict. And this must be obvious to everyone, and is obvious to everyone around the world. But apart from that, from our point of view, it's totally irrelevant, because the United States has no more right to have an embassy for the so-called State of Israel in Jerusalem than they have in Tel Aviv. There should be no, our approach is that the whole concept of a state of, what was that, the State of Israel is illegitimate and should not exist. And therefore, if there should be no State of Israel, there should be no United States embassy for the so-called State of Israel, whether in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem. The question is of what should be the eventual state, the eventual situation regarding Jerusalem. When we talk about the one state solution, which I'll come to shortly, we as religious people would have no particular preference to whether Jerusalem should be under international control or under total Palestinian control, whichever is felt best by the indigenous population of Palestine, who are the Palestinians, if they, once they achieve their control, if they wish that Jerusalem should be under international supervision, that's fine as far as we're concerned. If it should be under Palestinian control, that's also fine. Our prayer, of course, is that we should be able to have access to it, but we don't seek control. That situation regarding Jerusalem at the moment is only a distant possibility, but we hope, of course, that it will come in the future. The next item, which we were asked to look at, was the question of the Balfour Declaration. it is mind-boggling to see how so many Western politicians, particularly in the UK, totally ignore the realities of history. One of the previous speakers mentioned the UK Parliament, the British Parliament. The members of Parliament, so many of them, pontificate about the wrongs being done to the state of Israel and the fact that they are being attacked and by so-called terrorists and not allowed to live a peaceful life. But they forget that the whole state of Israel was begat out of a wrong activity. The whole Balfour Declaration, if one reads the history of the situation at the time that it was declared, it was an imperialistic political activity in order to achieve the United Kingdom's imperialistic aims at that time. It was clothed in the disguise of helping the Jewish people. But in any case, even if it was really intended, even if it was really intended to help the Jewish people, how could that be correct on the against the interests of the indigenous population and depriving the indigenous population of their possibility of self-determination? And making this Balfour Declaration, they set the scene for constant strife and bloodshed, and that has been what has been happening for the last 100 years. So, how can one be pleased? How can one be proud of the Balfour Declaration when one hears the Prime Minister saying we are proud of our hand in setting up the only democracy in the Middle East? Well, we all know how ludicrous that is, and as previous speakers have mentioned, the fact that there's no way in which the State of Israel is a democratic entity. The members of Parliament talk about the violence, whether actual or they talk about the members of Parliament, whether talk about the violence, whether actual or threatened, by various parties, various sections of the Palestinian people or pro-Palestinian people. No one wishes to condone violence, but it is impossible to eradicate it unless one goes back to the root cause, which is the illegitimate concept of the state of Israel. And if you want to eradicate violence, you have to go back to the root cause. One of the themes was talking about the demonization of Palestinian activism. One cannot demonize, criticize, or eliminate activism without addressing the root cause. Now, our prayer as Orthodox Jews is for the total peaceful dissolution of the so-called State of Israel. And that brings us to the next theme, which is the theme of boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Again, this is a personal opinion. We are, as religious people, stand aside. We pray that the right thing should take place. But one of the ways in which the State of Israel could be brought to its knees is certainly, on the face of it, by the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, sanctions, as happened in South Africa. As we all know, that was brought to its knees entirely in a comparatively peaceful way by similar sort of activity. And finally, hopefully achieving that situation where the state of Israel is brought totally and peacefully to an end and dismantled, then our prayer is that it should be replaced by a regime which is entirely in accordance with the aspirations of the Palestinian people, which brings us to the last thing, the question of one-state solution. Of course, there are many challenges in the one-state solution, how various things would be, various problems would be dealt with. The main problem would be the question of return of the refugees and compensation for the refugees, but it's not an insoluble problem. And with the help of the international community, the one-state solution could be the way forward in which everybody, whether Palestinian, Jew, or any other grouping, would be able to live peacefully in Palestine. And that is our prayer, that that time should arrive where we'd all be able to live peacefully in Palestine, as has been historically the case, that Jew and Muslim and Arab have lived peacefully together over hundreds of years, both in Palestine and in all over the Arab and Muslim world. And that is our prayer, that that should take place, and that should lead on to the time when we will all merit the revelation of the glory of the Almighty over the whole world.